Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. This morning we celebrate Mother's Day by having six of our high school boys bringing devotions to honor their mothers. It will be a special day of honoring all of our ladies. We have a special gift for all the ladies that attend, as well as a special area for families to have pictures taken with their moms. Everyone is welcome to worship with us this morning as we recognize all the special ladies in our lives. So many faithful women to look at in the Bible on Mother's Day. I think about Naomi from the book of Ruth in regards to my mom. Naomi had a lot of tough breaks and terrible losses. In chapter 1 of Ruth, we even see Naomi asked to have her name changed to Mara, since her life was so bitter. But by the end of the book of Ruth, we see her living a life of praise after Ruth marries Boaz and has a son that Naomi got to love and care for. My mom has taught me, especially later in life, the lesson of forgiveness for people that have hurt you. My grandparents divorced while I was in high school, and there was hurt feelings on both sides. My grandma was a tough lady raised during the Depression. She worked hard picking cotton, but had a hard time showing affection to her kids and her grandkids. After the divorce, we didn't communicate much with grandma, but I saw my mom take the first step many times over those years until my grandma's death to visit with her, call her, and check on her. Our moms never stop teaching us lessons if we just keep looking. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Love you. May God bless you all with His healing and His love, and thank you for listening.
Our worship leader for our program this morning is our guest minister, Reverend Howard Ellis.
Like the disciples who met the risen Christ,
we come hoping for unexpected appearances of God's love.
We come with our questions and doubts and listen for Christ to appear in our midst, saying,
peace be with you.
Let us worship God in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Gracious God, through the gift of your endless and eternal love, you have established your kingdom here on earth. Send your Holy Spirit to open our eyes that we may see it, enter it, and live its reality this day and all our days. Amen.
Our senior choir's anthem is "And So We Sing." Mary Berger reads our scripture readings.
Our first scripture lesson comes from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. Saul becomes a follower of the Lord. Saul kept on threatening to kill the Lord's followers. He even went to the high priest and asked for letters to their leaders in Damascus. He did this because he wanted to arrest and take to Jerusalem any man or woman who had accepted the Lord's way. When Saul had almost reached Damascus, a bright light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice that said, "Saul, Saul, why are you so cruel to me?" "Who are you?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus," the Lord answered. "I am the one you are so cruel to. Now get up and go into the city where you will be told what to do." The men with Saul stood there speechless. They had heard the voice, but they had not seen anyone. Saul got up from the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he could not see a thing. Someone then led him by the hand to Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink. A follower named Ananias lived in Damascus, and the Lord spoke to him in a vision. Ananias answered, "Lord, here I am." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. When you get there, you will find a man named Saul from the city of Tarsus. Saul is praying, and he has seen a vision. He saw a man named Ananias coming to him and putting his hands on him so that he could see again." Ananias replied, "Lord, a lot of people have told me about the terrible things this man has done to your followers in Jerusalem. Now the chief priests have given him the power to come here and arrest anyone who worships in your name." The Lord said to Ananias, "Go. I have chosen him to tell foreigners, kings, and the people of Israel about me. I will show him how much he must suffer for worshiping in my name." Ananias left and went into the house where Saul was staying. Ananias placed his hands on him and said, "Saul, the Lord Jesus has sent me. He is the same one who appeared to you along the road. He wants you to be able to see and to be filled with the Holy Spirit." Suddenly, something like fish scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see. He got up and was baptized. Then he ate and felt much better. For several days, Saul stayed with the Lord's followers in Damascus. Soon he went to the Jewish meeting places and started telling people that Jesus is the Son of God. Our second scripture reading comes from John chapter 21, 1 through 19. Jesus appears to 7 disciples. Jesus later appeared to his disciples along the shore of Lake Tiberias. Simon Peter, Thomas the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the brothers James and John were there, together with 2 other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I am going fishing." The others said, "We will go with you." They went out in their boat, but they didn't catch a thing that night. Early the next morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize who he was. Jesus shouted, "Friends, have you caught anything?" "No," they answered. So he told them, let your net down on the right side of your boat, and you will catch some fish. They did, and the net was so full of fish that they could not drag it up into the boat. Jesus' favorite disciple told Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon heard that it was the Lord, he put on the clothes that he had taken off while he was working. Then he jumped into the water. The boat was only about 100 yards from shore. So the other disciples stayed in the boat and dragged in the net full of fish. When the disciples got out of the boat, they saw some bread and a charcoal fire with fish on it. Jesus told his disciples, bring some of the fish you just caught. Simon Peter got back into the boat and dragged the net to shore. In it were 153 large fish, but still the net did not rip. Jesus said, come and eat. But none of the disciples dared ask who he was. They knew he was the Lord. Jesus took the bread in his hands and gave some of it to his disciples. He did the same with the fish. This was the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from death. When Jesus and his disciples had finished eating, he asked, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than the others do? Simon Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know I do. Then feed my lambs, Jesus said. Jesus asked a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus told him. Jesus asked a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him three times if he loved him. So he told Jesus, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Jesus replied, feed my sheep. I tell you for certain that when you were a young man, you dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will hold out your hands. Then others will wrap your belt around you and lead you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to tell how Peter would die and bring honor to God. Then he said to Peter, follow me. This concludes our reading.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did you come to church today? Let's be honest. The major reason why we come to church is because if you're good, you go to church, you believe everything you're taught, you get it all. You want a new car? Jesus will see to it that you get it. Whatever you want, he'll provide because you believe. Well, you know, we're not that crude, I don't think, but we do come with reasons. We have our expectations. You know, we come here, you may say, I just come to church because this is a time I can unwind. I can be at myself, peace with myself in the world. You may have important decisions to make. You may be thinking about moving. Maybe it's just a move across town. Maybe you're going to move to the nursing home or the skilled care unit. Maybe, you might want to get married, but you want to make sure you're marrying the right person. Then you may be thinking about, well, now is the time I want to retire. This is a good time. The thing is, we sort of know the church helps me reflect on my life and make the better choices. Behind reasoning like this is the assumption the church is where we come to get closer to God, that we might receive something from God. Well, I hope today, before we're finished, in the use of today's scripture, especially the story from John's gospel, we can turn that around a little bit in our thinking, where we come closer to God so that we might receive something we need. But in something, instead of that, we say we come to see what God needs from us rather than what we need. What does God need from you and from me? Thus, I take the Gospel of John. If you read the previous chapter, chapter 20, you may have heard that on Easter morning. You remember, the disciples are dejected, they're troubled, and they're despondent, and they're gathered behind locked doors because they are afraid of the Jews. And now the risen Lord steps into their presence, and there they are. And today, here the disciples are, in the middle of the night, by the way, out on a fishing trip. And actually, they're back in the middle of the night while they were failing at fishing, but they were fishing nonetheless. They caught nothing all night long. Remember, this just a short time after Easter and Jesus' resurrection. The disciples have witnessed the brutal crucifixion. They saw the nails being pounded into his hands, and they saw the sword from the soldier go into his side, and the blood and the water that flowed out. They saw this, and then they saw the rising from the dead. Or actually, they didn't see the rising from the dead. They saw the risen Christ who came in their midst. Remember, the disciples never actually saw Jesus come out of the tomb. All we ever saw, or ever reported to us, is that Jesus is alive. And so they went out looking for Jesus. And he was the same Jesus who came to them in the room as he breathed on them, remember? And then he said, "Peace be with you." And then he just vanished. And today we're out in the business as usual, fishing. It may have gone something like this. I'm sure Peter, probably being the spokesman for the group, probably said, "Well, you know, it was a good party while it lasted. But we didn't get him elected Messiah. Jesus is not going to be elected. The Romans crucified him, betrayed him, and the crowd added to that, and then Judas betrayed him, and you know the rest of the story. He's dead." And so they said, "We better get back to doing at least what we know what we're doing. We're going to go back and fish." At least they better have better luck in life than being a fisherman, than going out and trying to change the world with Jesus. That has the prospect of something better. Peter, of course, is the chief disciple, the rock on which the church is built, and has a bold plan. You've heard it today already. Let's go fishing. It's a good resurrection while it lasted. Now it's back to the pleasant, soothing business of as usual. Out of nowhere, Jesus appears to the failed disciples. You heard the story this morning. Who are no better at fishing than at discipleship. And he says, "Why don't you go back out one more time? When you go out on the right side of the boat, throw your nets down and catch them." And you heard it today. They brought up big fish, didn't they? 153 fish came up onto that boat. And their surprise was because they obeyed the word of Christ. They transformed their failure into a success. I suppose you could say, well, there's a lesson for that. We could make that the sermon for the day. Just try and try again if you fail. I don't think that that's going to work today. Because this is John's gospel, and John's gospel always has a little more under the surface than meets the eye. You always remember that when you're reading the Gospel of John. It's always a little more there than what it seems to be when you first read it.
And Peter is the rock, and he continues to bumble. And Peter is the one who's trying to figure out what to do. And then Christ reminds him what they're called to be. Fishermen they may be, but they're called to listen to Jesus, to obey Jesus, and to live their lives as assigned by Jesus. They're challenged. There's a challenge in that, to get back into the boat and try again. Their failures do not deter them from obeying and following Jesus. And there's a commission. There's a vocation. There's a calling in following Jesus. Even as the cross did not deter God, so we are not deterred from following what God wants us to be. Jesus does not desert them in the resurrection. He comes back to them, appearing to them even when they think they're getting away from him. And there, amid ordinary life, Jesus calls and rescues. But, you know, as I said earlier, you could say this is a good moral, isn't it? Just if you fail, go right back and fish some more. But I think, you know, I think the main thing is from the story is that this is a story mainly about Jesus. A story about how Jesus was after us. Because as Jesus returns to his disciples and encourages them and transforms their life, the resurrected Christ takes that fish and that breakfast and makes it the breakfast of all breakfast. This is the huge feast. You know, I was talking this morning, we were going to have communion out in Salem, and I made the comment, this is a huge feast today. You may say, well, we're just small in number. But it's a huge, we're communing with the whole church. We are drawn together. And as the huge draw of fish symbolizes the complexity and the beauty of Christ's church, how it reaches out to many, 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 many people, many, many fish of great size. And so we are all connected together in this great flock of fish, in this great herd that is Christ has given to us. And after having done all of this, now it's really time to bear down on Peter. In a way, Peter is us. Always remember that oftentimes, Peter is us. We've been told earlier that Peter was one of the disciples on the shore. As Peter comes up, remember, Peter is the one who denied Jesus. Not once, not twice. But three times. In fact, Jesus told him, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the night is over. Remember that during Passion Week? And by golly, every time somebody said, I think you're with him. And what does he say? No way. No way that's me. And yet here he is being asked this question, Peter. And then he asked this question to Peter. Do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, of course I do. And then he says, see the flock? Feed them. And then he turns to him and says, again, do you love me? And I could imagine Peter was just as astounded. What does he mean? I've told him I didn't. The frantic thoughts. And he said, yes, Lord, I do. I really, really, really do. And he says, the flock is yours to take care of. Tend the flock. Feed the sheep. If that isn't enough, he says again, do you love me? Just three words. And Peter says, of course, Lord. What do you want out of me? And Jesus essentially says to him, Peter, I want all of you. I want your whole being to be committed to this task that I have given to you. I want you to be committed your whole self. And this is what Jesus, I said, remember, Peter is us. Jesus today yes, Lord. Peter is there. I wonder where that's coming from. Let's just turn this off for a minute. This can't be on, I think. Well, anyway. Maybe the Lord is trying to tell us something. He turns to him and he says, "Do you love me?" And that's what he's saying to you and to me. Do you love me enough to follow me? Are you willing to give up all, to commit yourself to following me and care for my people, to care for the sheep, to bring the gospel into the world? You know, when he turned to Peter, he said, "I'm going to tell you what the rest of the story is. How are you going to live like this? When you're young, you can go where you want to go. But once you get committed to me, you're locked into something that will hold you forever and all your life. Someone will come and put a belt around you, and you will have no place to go but to where they lead you." That's commitment to Christ. You become committed to serving others, and others soon become your master too, because you are committed to the love of Christ in the world. That's the gift that Christ gives for us. I said God has a call for us, and God has a message for you. He says, "Do you love me?" And you say, "Of course I do." And he says to you, "Okay, come follow me. Be my disciple. Pay the cost, pay the price." Now I want to talk just a little bit in passing, but maybe just a touch on we read that long reading that we heard from Paul. Remember Paul was on the road and a blast of light came. You like that sound effect? And then it's a blinding light and he can't see. You ever had a blinding light hit you? This one is worse than a camera. You can't see. He struck to the ground, blinded by Jesus. He says, "Peter, what are you doing?" Now, he doesn't say something like this. "I'm sorry I blinded you, but I just wanted to let you know that I love you, and I really want you to, I'll help you again, and your sight will come back, and it'll be all be good, and I want to take care of all your hurts." I don't think that's what it said. It says something like this: "I see what you've been doing. You have been persecuting Christians. You have been making life hard for others. And I'm not happy. But I'm going to send somebody to help you. A Christian. He's going to come." And Ananias does come and prays for him. And it says something like, what? Fish scales fell off his eyes. And he saw. But he understood something too. He could see the gospel. He could see himself as a changed person. And Paul, just as the other disciples were out trying to find fish, Saul is out trying to find Christians so he could lock them up. Today, he found the Lord. The Lord found him and turned his life around and said, "You're no longer the persecutor of Christians. You're like Saul. You're a new name. You're Paul." And Paul is a planter of churches, a follower of Christ, who will bring God into the world, who will carry Christ and the message of Christ to the world. And so today, Jesus encourages us today when he says to us, "Come follow me." The risen Christ comes to us. Of course, he comes to encourage us, give us wise guidance and blessing. But above all, he says to us, "Come and follow me." Not to make your life better, because that's what you think, that's what you want. The risen Christ is here today to enlist you, to volunteer you to take up the gospel and to go into the world and tell the world that Christ has been raised from the dead. Rather, you know, what does Jesus say to you? "Well, what can I do for you?" Jesus never really says that. But what Jesus does say to you and to me and to everyone that comes to him, "Follow me." And that's as simple as that. Two words that ask everything of us. Come, follow me. Amen.